Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Podcast for Monday, April 11th. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Yankees took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox this weekend. The Mets took 3 out of 4 from the Nationals to start the season. There's lots of time to get into the ins and outs and the X's and O's and the what-ifs and whatevers of the season. We don't need to do that right now because I needed to talk to this guy one more time before I just let him enjoy the rest of the summer in peace. My friend Ed Coleman announced he's retiring, and this will be the first time in about 30 years you will not see him regularly or hear him regularly on our radio station talking about the Mets. Eddie, I know we've talked about this decision for a while, and it's finally here. The first weekend of baseball passed, and you just got to watch it on TV like a normal person. How do you feel?
I feel okay, Sweeney. Yeah, I do. I don't miss the long nights, let's put it that way, and the rain delays and the light delays, stuff like that. You know, I think I missed the baseball a little bit because I certainly tuned in this weekend. And, you know, you still have a lot of people that you covered on the team and you root for. So I think it's going to be a very good season for the Mets, too. But, you know, being actually there, I didn't miss it all that much, but I think you miss the game and you probably miss the locker room and the joking around and the stuff like that. Just what you hear all the players say all the time, you know, I miss the camaraderie and I miss the interaction with, you know, my teammates, et cetera. And I think I miss the interaction a little bit, you know, with people like you and the other reporters that I worked with for a lot of years and the other announcers as well, too. But I'm okay in retirement for sure.
You know, it's funny. We kind of joke about it a lot. We do a lot of standing around. We talk to each other a lot while we wait for people to come in and out, players, coaches, managers, whatever. And there's a lot of hurry up and wait in what we do. And there's, you know, it leads to like kind of gallows humor kind of stuff. But that's the kind of stuff the last 2 years we've been without. And I think a lot of us are figuring out that we really missed all of it.
I totally agree with that, you know, and that's, you know, the last couple of years, you know, people ask me, you know, was this a quick decision, a split decision? And it certainly wasn't. I mean, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of years. And yeah. Let's be honest, it hasn't been a lot of fun the last couple of years. I mean, in 2020, it was a year that wasn't fun for anyone, of course, with a global pandemic. But you and I were doing talk shows, it seemed like every other night, waiting for the baseball season to get underway in August, pretty much. I think at the end of July and August, and then, you know, you crush 60 games into 2 months, and you're, you know, either at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, you know, you didn't go anywhere. And the next year, you know, in 2021, it wasn't a heck of a lot different. We didn't really travel. You know, everything was at home, and everything was on Zoom. We didn't get to go in the clubhouses, so it wasn't a heck of a lot of fun. And after you do that for a little while, when you're used to, you know, being able to, you know, be next to somebody, talk to somebody the next day about a decision that was made or a play that was blown, you miss that. And I know it's going to get back to more normal times this year, which is a great thing. But at the same time, it took a lot away for me anyway over the last couple of years, and that's why I decided to just step away.
All right, so who are some of the people that you heard from over the couple of days or, you know, maybe the week or so since this came out, and you're like, wow, that was great to hear from them. Who surprised you? Who reached out to you?
Well, this didn't, you know, it's funny because it didn't surprise me, but I was taken aback when I was driving to my daughter's lacrosse game and all of a sudden David Wright's name pops up on my phone in the car. And David and I had a great conversation for a long time because, you know, I had talked to him about this back when I saw him in spring training a couple of years ago. You know, he'd always ask me anyway, when are you going to get out of here? You're old. You're over the hill. You know David's sense of humor, so. But he was really the first person to reach out that I heard from the team. So it was great to hear from him. I had a long conversation with him, and he, you know, it's kind of funny because you know. David was down at spring training, and I got the sense that he doesn't miss baseball all that much right now either. And, you know, he says, yeah, you're probably right. He says he's busy with his girls and his son, his young kids right now. I don't think he'll ever be the type that'll be a manager or a coach. He'll have something to do with the game of baseball as time goes on, but I don't think he misses it all that much. And the other guy, I guess, that surprised me a little bit was Tom Glavine, who called out. Well, I hadn't talked to Glavine in a long time, and he's been with the Atlanta Braves and in their broadcast booth. He's stepping away for a year, too, because his dad passed away last year, and he wanted to spend some time with his mom. So he heard that I was stepping aside, so he wanted to call me in and figure out if I could go play golf with him sometimes. I said, I'm not playing golf with you. I said, whatever school you're at right now, I said, double it or triple it, that's where I'm at. So I'm not playing golf with you. But I told him I hope to get together at some point in time. But it was great to hear from those two guys in particular. And a lot of people have reached out, a lot of people that I worked with and formerly worked with, and even going back to Boston days. So it's been really nice to hear from a lot of people that I kind of lost touch with over the years too.
You just reminded me when you said Tom Glavine. It's probably safe to tell some of this story now, but you know, you and I would only see each other a handful of times a year for the Subway Series, obviously, you know, covering the two different teams. But there was one occasion where interleague play. No, it wasn't even interleague play. It was one occasion where travel just happened to work out because the Yankees were playing the White Sox, the Mets were playing the Cubs right after. So just as the Yankees were leaving town, the Mets were coming in to play the Cubs, and you and I had one Thursday night in Chicago together where we happened to cross paths. Glavine is part of this, so I don't want to throw too many people under the bus here, but we basically closed down the lodge in Chicago, and it was, you know, I tell people all the time, my fatal mistake that night was telling you, sure, Eddie, I'll meet you out for one drink.
It's never one, that's for sure. it's never one, and it usually goes pretty late. I think you might have stayed up to make your plane the next day. I'm not quite sure.
I got a couple of hours in, yeah, but I had to fly back to New York, and we had Yankees Red Sox the next day, and you had a day game against the Cubs.
Correct, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I wasn't too good the next day, as a matter of fact. But those things happen. When teams collide. I remember that happened one time too in Chicago as well. I think the Phillies, we were coming, or the team was going. I hadn't gone yet, and the Phillies came into town, and so you see a lot of people from Philadelphia that you know and they love. And that was. I remember that night very well. As a matter of fact, you probably don't remember it as well as I do. I'm actually hungover the next day as you're sitting on a plane, but it was a lot of fun.
I'm actually surprised how much I remembered from that trip, but I do remember sitting at whatever Yankees Red Sox game I was at, and it didn't hit me till Saturday the next day, then, because it was a Friday night game and kind of power through that. Then there's a Saturday day game. I'm going, boy, I feel great. And I imagine you had, like, that was just one. Like, you probably have like dozens or hundreds of those stories, don't you?
I have a few of those over the years, that's for sure. Yeah, I slowed down an awful lot in my later years. But when you do this for going on 30 years or whatever, or 20 plus anyway, that's for sure. You have a lot of nights like that too, and sometimes a lot of fun as well.
So, what are some of the things that have kind of floated back to you? I mean, obviously, listen, you don't make this decision lightly, and you have a lot of time to think about it, and you're at peace with making the decision. But as you're thinking about what you're saying goodbye to, what are some of the memories that just float back to you?
Well, one that I mentioned, I was talking with somebody last night, that I still think about that first day at WFAN back in 1987. I remember going on later that night, but I remember being there when the station went on the air, and not really knowing. I don't think any of us knew at that point in time whether this was going to make it. I had been part of an all sports venture before called Enterprise Radio, which went belly up after about 9 months or so. It eventually became ESPN Radio. The Rasmussens formed ESPN, formed Enterprise, and eventually they formed ESPN Radio. But the country wasn't ready for it at that point in time. So it didn't succeed. But when John Shannon called me again, he had called me for the first venture. He called me again, and I said, sure, why not? Why not give it another spin and see if it works? And but none of us knew it was going to work. So I think back to that day an awful lot, and being very proud of what we built there, what we all became a part of, being the first all sports radio station that succeeded and laying the groundwork and the blueprint for, a lot of other stations and, a lot of other programming ventures to come. So I was very proud of that. I think back to the years when the Mets were really good. I mean, they've been really bad some years, and more bad than good. That's for sure. I think back, and one of the things I said to the fans was, I hope you don't, I don't think they ever did, but I gave them so much bad news over the years that I hope that they wouldn't hold it against me.
Yeah.
But I think back to the good times in the late 90s when they built up to the World Series against the Yankees in 2000. That was a fun time. Bobby Valentine and his crew, and Mike Piazza and Robin Ventura and Olerud, et cetera. They were a great bunch and a great team and fun to be around. And then building up again when David Wright came up in 2004, and eventually Beltran came the next year in 2006 when they came close and probably should have been in the World Series but weren't. And then the disappointments the next 2 years when they blew it on the final day, both seasons, and never getting back, kind of like the 86 Mets, who were supposed to roll and have a dynasty, and that Met team was supposed to win an awful lot more than it did, and it didn't. And then the surprise in 2015 as well too, which was that was great. It was a great year to go through, and that the steady build that year as Syndergaard joined DeGrom and Mets joined Syndergaard and DeGrom, and they made a great trade at the deadline. It was I think about those times probably more so than the down times, but you have to take the good with the bad, and that makes you stronger, as they say. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So there were a lot of years that you felt like you were going to get killed with the Mets, but it's been a good ride.
It's funny. I was just telling somebody the other day at the ballpark that one of the lessons I've learned from covering players at such a high level is that you have to put whatever happened in today's game or yesterday's game behind you pretty quickly because there's another one coming up tomorrow. And I feel like I had to learn to approach my job the same way as I watch some of these great players do. It's like, 4-for-4 or 0-for-4 doesn't matter. Guess what? There's another game. You still have to do your job again tomorrow. And I feel like I learned a lot of that from you too, because I think people could hear it in your voice. There's disappointment. There's exhilaration with great victories. There's disappointment with tough losses or bad news like injuries or firings or whatever. But I think just the little bit of humorous approach you were able to take with even stuff like that, I feel like I learned something from that too. Like there's still something else to do tomorrow, and it's as much as we live it, it's not life or death. There has to be a little bit of, and it's I'm assuming, Ed, it's probably how you got yourself through a year when it's every day. It can be a drag, and you lived it like I'm living it now, where you had a wife and young kids, and you have to go to the park every day and miss them. There's a lot of that that goes into what we do that people don't see, but you have to take the approach on the air of just kind of keeping it light. And that's what I think, I correct me if I'm wrong, I think that helped you get through a lot of the season just like it helps me get through the season.
No, you're absolutely right, Sweeney. I think you said it well. Listen, the sun comes up tomorrow, as Annie says, so it'll come up, and it does, and you have to view things that way. And I also think you've got to have a sense of humor. You can't take yourself too seriously. You can't take every game as life and death. Sometimes you've got to give a game away, or you've got to do what's best for your team at that time, and maybe that's not the night that you're going to win, but there is another game tomorrow, so you can live to fight another day. And I think that's the approach that I think the sensible players take. I don't think everybody is wired that way, but I think that's the way you have to take it. When, you know, listen, you consider you're working in a sport that plays twice as many regular season games as any other sport. You know, I mean, basketball and hockey are all in the, you know, 80 game range, and you know, this is a sport when you play the whole season it's 162, and then you have playoffs after that. So yeah. It's a long season, and you're playing every day, and you just have to, you know, you have to keep yourself healthy and keep going. So yeah, but I think that you know, you can't take yourself too seriously, and I think that works for both players and announcers and reporters. You know, you have to view this as this is your job. You go out and do it the best way you can, and you know, try to bring that to the people, and hope that the people like what you're saying and what you're doing. So hopefully they have over the years.
I think it's a great lesson for people if they're aspiring broadcasters who are listening to this. It's a great lesson to just approach your job. You helped teach me that along the way for sure. And you know, this is probably like the last official version of what I like to call me and Eddie C. And we will, you know, because it rhymes. And I feel like, you know, it's my turn to tell you and everybody else that whether it was producing a show called Friday Night Football with you and our late great friend Dave Jennings back in 93, 94, when I was first starting at the radio station, or getting to do whether it was off-season hot stove shows or Subway Series pre-game, post-game type of shows, or as you referenced, you know, during you know, the pandemic and shutdown, we did a lot of baseball shows together. Always just my favorite things to do was sit, whether it was for 15 minutes like we do this kind of thing, or for 4 or 5 hours at a time on the radio where we just talk baseball. We bring on people that we like to talk to, and we get to just tell fun stories and have a good time. My favorite times on the radio station, and one of my favorite people in the world to just sit and talk to about baseball or whatever else, and I need to share that with you and everybody else. I can't thank you enough for making that happen for me over my course of my, you know, almost 30 years at the radio station. And I hope that, you know, we have these more informal chats at, you know, diner counters or bar stools somewhere along the way for the next however many years.
Yeah, I think there's probably a better chance at a bar stool than a diner counter. But hey, you know, if you're talking about me, Smitty, but hey, what the heck? Either way, I'm up for that. Listen, I've been privileged to work with a lot of great people, and I include you right at the top of that list. We've done a lot of work together, even though we covered, you know, different teams, and you do a great job. Always love talking with you, and always love doing shows with you. And you know, you mentioned Friday Night Football. Dave Jennings, one of my favorite people of all time, and I miss Dave to this day, and think about him an awful lot too. Yeah. Been a lot of special people over the years, and I'm not even going to start to name people because I'll leave a million out. But it's been a great ride at FAN, to say the least. I always tried to consider. My dad kind of taught me this when I was young too, that you know, whatever your job is, it's no more important than the next guy's job. And listen, you know, we have jobs that a lot of people would, you know, let's face it, they lust over. You know, yeah. They would love to be a broadcaster or love to be a reporter for a team. But, you know, is it any more important than a fireman or a policeman, or, you know, even somebody who goes in and puts in their 8 hours every day to, you know, to keep the supply chain moving, whatever mm-hmm. that may be? It's really not that much more important. Okay, we all have jobs to do, and you try to do them as best you can. And I always tried to look at it that way, that, you know, my job was no more important than anybody else's. And, you know, you try to help the next person along, and you know, be kind to your neighbor, let's put it that way. So that's kind of the way I approach life and try to approach this job as well too. And and hopefully people liked what I did. It's been a lot of fun. I've been around a lot of great people. I can't even think back to, you know, when I was in my late 20s or 30s when I was working in Boston and figured that I'd be here in New York. When I came to New York, I thought that, you know, I'd be here for a short amount of time and I'd be elsewhere, you know, yeah. probably pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
And here I am still in New York after all these years, a Bostonian in New York. But I guess I'm officially a New Yorker now. I think I've reached the residence requirement. Let's put it that way. So it's been it's been a great time doing this, and I got a lot of memories from it. And I'm sure there are days I'll miss it more than others, but at the same time, I'm pretty happy where I am now too, and doing what I'm doing, watching from afar.
Well, I know that we'll be poorer for not getting to hear your takes on all these happenings constantly. So listen, on behalf of Mets fans, Yankees fans, just baseball fans on the radio station, let me say thank you. And you know how much I love working with you. You know how much I love you. And I can't wait to tip a glass with you at some point. And we'll close out the official portion here, and we'll keep it unofficial for as long as you're willing to keep going. And thank you, and I hope you and your family enjoy every minute of what you've earned after all these years on the road. Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Winnie. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll be listening. That's all I can tell you. I'll be listening, and we'll talk. But thanks very much.
Let's wrap up. Me and Eddie C. It's the WFAN Baseball Insiders Podcast. Remember to subscribe, review, and all that jazz. Until next time, I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.